Hello and welcome to another episode of my podcast, Lest We Forget. My name is Gary. I'm just an enthusiastic reader of military history. And I want to share some of the lesser-known stories I've encountered. Stories that got me saying to myself, why haven't I heard this before? This week's episode is called Barney Hines, the Souvenir King. If ever a photograph created a legend, then this is it. I've posted this particular photograph as the cover image of this podcast. But if you want a clearer look, then just search on the internet, Barney Hines. Or this podcast Facebook page, Lest We Forget Podcast. It will help get a measure of the man. Hines was a First World War soldier in the Australian Army who became famous because of this photograph taken of him in 1917. The image shows Hines sitting on a battlefield wearing a German forage cap and surrounded by a German helmet, a stick grenade, a revolver and other military equipment, and holding in both hands what appears to be banknotes. It was reported that on this day, he had acquired more than 4,000 francs, about 1 million German marks, a bottle of whiskey, a pair of earrings, a diamond brooch, a gold ring, a variety of watches, and a sandbag full of iron crosses. Hines had a reputation in his battalion for collecting German equipment and enemy soldiers' personal possessions, some from the battlefields, but most from German prisoners. This photograph was published in late 1917 under the title Wild Eyes, the Souvenir King, and was widely circulated. It was rumoured that the German Kaiser was so incensed by the photograph that he had a price put on his head. However, this image does not paint the full picture of Barney Hines the soldier, both on and off the battlefield. This is his story. In October 1878, Johannes Heim was born in Liverpool to German immigrant parents who had come to England to work in the sugar refining industry. At some stage, his name became anglicised to John Hines, and he also picked up a nickname of Barney. It is understood that Hines had served in both the British Army and the Royal Navy before he moved to New Zealand in the early 1900s, leaving behind a wife and two children. Hines worked a variety of jobs, including sheep shearing, and also became something of a drifter and soon started to get into trouble with the authorities. Over the next few years, Hines was convicted of a number of criminal offences such as vagrancy, threatening behaviour, assault and theft. Eventually, in 1915, Hines worked a passage as a fireman on a ship to Australia. A week after his arrival, Hines volunteered to join the Australian Imperial Force. Although he was by now 36 years old, he told them that he was only 28. However, Hines did not see any action and was medically discharged in January 1916 due to poor health. However, following Australian losses during the campaign at Gallipoli, the Australian Army lowered its medical standards with a view to bolstering reinforcements. And in May 1916, Hines went into a Sydney recruiting office, this time given his age as 36, and was duly signed up. Hines sailed to England, where he trained with other new recruits on Salisbury Plain. Barney's brushes with authority continued, though, in the army, and he proved to be a handful in camp, frequently going absent without leave, and as a result losing pay and being detained. However, in March 1917, Hines joined the 45th Battalion on the Western Front. His battalion officers soon recognised his natural fighting ability. With a large and intimidating frame, his eyes would glaze over when engaged in battle, and his colleagues dubbed him Wild Eyes. You can see this in his photograph. Hines also carried two bags full of hand grenades, which he preferred to use over his rifle. This fighting style was demonstrated in the June of 1917, during the Battle of Messines. At a place known as Octagon Trench, Hines and a junior officer became separated from their platoon when a German pillbox nearby opened up with machine gun fire. The officer was hit in the arm, and there was no obvious escape for them. Hines crept forward and climbed on top of the pillbox. He then jumped down and threw in a few grenades. The surviving 63 Germans in the fortification then surrendered to Hines, and they included a general who had been taking shelter. Later that day, Hines went out alone and destroyed another German machine gun post, but was wounded in the process. As a result, he spent 6 weeks in a military hospital, but even this did not pass without incident. Whilst on a day's convalescent leave, he found a horse with a saddle but no rider. He took it back to the hospital and traded it for a bottle of whiskey. Hines returned to his unit during the summer, and his aggressive and fearless soldiering proved to be an inspiration to his fellow soldiers. Yet he was still undisciplined when not in combat, and he was getting a reputation for his collection of war trophies. His battalion commander, Lieutenant Colonel Allen, later described Hines as
a tower of strength to the battalion while he was in the line.
It was this officer that decided to attach Hines to a Lewis gun team. The spraying power of this light machine gun appeared to captivate Hines, who apparently said, "This'll do me. It's just like hosing the bastards down." In September, the 45th Battalion were involved in the Battle of Polygon Wood, and this is where the famous photograph was taken. Soon after, at Zonnebeek, Hines set off on one of his many lone forays. With his Lewis gun slung across his back and carrying a handful of grenades, he stumbled across a deserted German dressing station. The Germans were all dead, but there was a British soldier on a stretcher still alive. Hines gently carried the wounded man back to the lines, but sadly the soldier died on the way back. Hines buried him, but, forever the opportunist, returned to the dressing station to collect a few souvenirs for himself. The following night, Hines accompanied an officer on a reconnaissance patrol. They came across a German pillbox, and whilst the officer was considering returning for reinforcements, Hines approached the fortification, and after prizing open its door, threw in an incendiary bomb, killing the 20 or so occupants. On their way back to the lines, Hines encountered 10 Germans taking cover in a shell hole. Hines took them all as prisoners, but as others from his battalion came to assist him, he warned them off and proceeded to relieve the prisoners of their watches, cash, and any other saleable items. Yet despite this, Hines also had a reputation of refusing to leave wounded colleagues behind, and he would repeatedly set off on his own, often under fire, to rescue casualties. At Passchendaele, Hines was with his Lewis gun team when a shell exploded amongst them. Hines was the only survivor, but the blast threw him some distance from his post and the soles of his boots were ripped off. Hines crawled back to the post, restored the gun to work in order, and also went on to bury the rest of his team. That winter, 1917-1918, the Australians were relieved in the front line by the Canadians. Out of the front line, Barney was an ill-disciplined and troublesome soldier. He was court-martialed on 9 occasions for drunkenness, impeding military police, forging entries in his paybook, and being absent without leave. And Hines himself claimed that he had stolen from the strong room of a bank in Amiens. There is no doubt that his uncontrollable behaviour cost him promotions and possibly even medals that he had rightly earned on the battlefield. By the spring of 1918, Hines and the 45th Battalion were back on the front line at Dernancourt in France, this time involved in successfully preventing the Germans breaking through the lines during their spring offensive. Soon after this action, Hines was temporarily blinded during a gas attack and was hospitalised as a result. Whilst at the hospital, it was bombed by German aircraft and Hines got a shrapnel wound to his heel. Despite this, he helped hospital staff through the night to move surviving patients to safety. Hines never returned to the front line and was discharged as medically unfit, returning to Australia before the war ended. Barney Hines was not able to adjust to life outside of the army, and on his return to Australia, he went to live in a small shack made of old cloth bags called a humpy, just outside Sydney. The humpy was surrounded by a fence on which he hung helmets taken from German soldiers. He'd struggled to find consistent work and only managed to exist on a small army pension and selling some of his precious souvenirs. In the 1930s, at the height of the Great Depression, the photograph of Hines, taken at Polygon Wood, was displayed at the Australian War Museum in Sydney, and it led to a number of magazine articles about him. One such headline was, "Souvenir King has no souvenirs now," and his living conditions and unemployment were highlighted, which in turn led to some former soldiers sending him money. Despite his own situation, Hines would travel to a local hospital each week to donate vegetables from his garden for ex-servicemen being treated there. At the outbreak of the Second World War, Hines tried to enlist in the military despite being in his 60s, but was rejected. A local newspaper reported in 1943 that Hines had attempted to stow away on a troop ship in 1940, but was found and sent ashore before it had sailed. In 1958, John Barney Hines died, aged 79, and was buried in an unmarked grave until 1971, when an ex-serviceman's organisation paid for a headstone. The local council also renamed the street on which he lived to John Hines Avenue, and a monument to him was built at a nearby remembrance garden in 2002. It is claimed that Barney Hines killed more Germans than any other Australian soldier during the First World War. Whether that is true or not, he was clearly a useful man to have on your side during the heat of battle. But sadly, he was a man that could not adjust or conform to a comfortable civilian existence. His legend lives on, though, and largely through that photograph of Barney Hines, the Souvenir King.